Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show.
Hey, hey, clones, what's up? Welcome back to the Daily Jungle. I hope you did back it in, denim it up, and finish the week strong. We were all over that absolutely fire Thursday night football game. And the pride of Los Angeles, Sean McVay's Rams, ram it. Also today, we covered the 10th anniversary of one of the greatest rants in sports history. Find out what that was. Two excellent guests to boot. Boomer Esiason back in the jungle, and so was Oregon football coach Willie Taggart. All of that, plus Alvin DeLauro's week that was. Speaking of which, Alvy, why don't you just do what you do and roll this thing? Let's be real. When you saw that the Rams and the Niners were playing each other on Thursday Night Football, you probably tried to convince yourself that you were not going to watch. You weren't. And then when you saw the Rams all yellow, color rush unis, you probably had a few fresh spilled mustard jokes locked and loaded for your friends. And then on the very first play from scrimmage, this happened.
Three-step drop, throws right side, intercepted on the first play, picked off by Roby Coleman down the left sideline, and he's tripped up at the two-yard line. Garrett Celek saved the touchdown as on the first play, Nickell Roby Coleman with the interception, scooting up the left sideline, down at the three. It'll be first and goal, Los Angeles.
Thanks to Westwood One. When Brian Hoyer was nearly pick-sixed on the very first play of that game, you probably said, here we go again, and launched into some rant about Thursday Night Football, because ripping on Thursday Night Football is the new hotness. But the joke is on you, because that wasn't just a great game, that was the greatest Thursday night game in a long, long time. That might have been the best football game in a long, long time. Maybe the best football game ever, because it had everything. Fumbles, an onside kick, a critical two-point conversion attempt, two teams standing in the center of the ring trading haymakers, a damn shootout, an exciting 80 combined points. And if I'm the Rams, I'm going to break out the all gold all the time, because they look like a completely different team from previous Rams teams. They look like an actual NFL team. Remember when Mike Martz said that the hiring of Sean McVay made him want to, quote, puke? Yeah, me neither. Three games in, that quote looks worse than ever, because this group is totally different under Sean McVay. For starters, they've had two 40-point games this season. They had two 40-point games in the last 10 seasons. They've already scored more points in three games this season than they did in Jared Goff's seven starts last season. Speaking of Jared Goff, I mean, holy crap. What's gotten into this guy? He looks like a completely different quarterback, an NFL quarterback. 22 of 28, 292 yards, three touchdowns, no sacks. The guy was crisp. He was clean. He was making throws that he's never made before. And sure, the arrival of guys like Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, and Andrew Whitworth definitely makes a difference. But this is bigger than him having better pieces around him. Goff looks like the guy that they expected when they took him first overall, and you better believe Sean McVay deserves the credit for that. McVay's got a ton of it. He's got a ton of it, but he can flat out coach. And Todd Gurley can flat out ball. 149 yards and this.
First down, the give is to Gurley right up the middle, plowing to the goal line. He's in for the touchdown. Todd Gurley.
And then this.
From the shotgun, Goff throws right side. Gurley's got it at the five and into the end zone for the touchdown.
And finally this.
Goff turns, gives to Gurley, bounces to the outside, trying to get to the edge. A little stiff arm. Gurley close to the goal line, and he's in for the touchdown. Just broke the plane of the goal line. Third time tonight that Todd Gurley has found the end zone.
So not one, not two, but three touchdowns. Good luck beating the guy who has Gurley in your fantasy league this week. Oh, and on defense, check out my man Aaron Donald, who rolls in after having no training camp. It might be the greatest Ram since Deacon Jones. You know he's still not even in NFL game shape yet, and the guy's still a holy terror, and he's putting offensive linemen on skates. Look, I'm not going to get carried away. It's only three games, and not exactly against a murderer's row. But when you look at what they used to be, this is an amazing transformation. And sure, they still have issues. The secondary's still banged up. Nobody's going to plan a parade down Figueroa after allowing Brian Hoyer and the Niners to score 39 on them. And they were dangerously close to giving it all back and blowing that game. But they went on the road on a short week after a loss, and they beat a division rival. I'm not going to declare the NoCal, SoCal, Battery Chuckers versus Water Thieves rivalry back in the NFC West, but it's closer than it's ever been before. And that's a good thing, a really good thing. And most of all, the Rams finally look like a freaking NFL team, and Jared Goff finally looks like an NFL quarterback. Also a very good thing. So I'm taking your thoughts on last night's game. Great Thursday night matchup. Talk about it from the Rams standpoint or the 49ers. You know, the good news is they went the first 2 weeks without scoring a touchdown. They scored 5 last night. Bad news is they lost. You score 39 and you still lose. Not a good thing. And I do want to talk more about Sean McVay. I mean, all aboard the Sean McVay hype train. First tweet from ShocksRock17. Skip the deck of yeah and just ram it. Gotta ram it. Damn it, just ram it. Why do I have to skip the deck of yeah and ram it when I can do both? Why skip either? The jungle's favorite guest, the king, in his triumphant return, Boomer Esiason. Boomer, good morning. How are you?
Hey, Jim. How are you, man? I'm doing well. Thanks for that very nice introduction.
Boomer, it's so good to have you back. We missed you, and it's great to talk some football with you. Boomer, let me start with that matchup last night. Thursday night football games have not been especially inspiring. So with that in mind, Boomer, how great was that Rams-Niners game last night?
It was an awesome game. It was really entertaining and had just about everything. And what I love most about it, Jim, you had two young coaches. You could see that both teams are significantly better. And in the case of the Rams, you could see the impact that a coach like Sean McVay can have on a young player like Jared Goff, because Jared Goff looks like a completely different player than he did last year. And the fact that the Rams right now basically have the number one offense in football, I'm sure that somebody will have a big game this week, maybe a catch up to him. But I just thought it was great to see Kyle Shanahan. It was great to see Sean McVay. Young players really playing to the forefront. Todd Gurley now being reinvigorated. So is Sammy Watkins. It was great. The color rush uniforms, I love it. And I wish every Thursday game would be like that. I think it would be far-fetched to think that would happen. But just an awesome game, and that's exactly what the best of NFL football looks like.
It was a great night. Boomer Esiason joining us. All right, Boomer, let me keep moving. The Giants have scored a total of 13 points in 2 games. They lost their first 2 games by at least 14 points for the first time in franchise history. What is the mood like then in New York as it relates to the Giants?
It's really frustrating, and there's a lot of reasons for that. There are obviously a lot of players like left tackle Eric Flowers been signaled out for a poor game Monday night against Detroit. But I think it's more than that. I think that this has been going on for the last 3 or 4 years now for the Giants, and especially the last 8 or 9 games where they haven't scored over 20 points when you go back to last year. And this is an offense that has Odell Beckham Jr. on it, has obviously Brandon Marshall on it. Brandon's dropped a couple passes in the first few games. He hasn't helped his cause. Evan Engram, who they drafted out of Ole Miss, is a terrific young tight end. But really, it goes back to the quarterback. And, as much as I admire and respect and really do like Eli Manning as both a football player and as a gentleman off the field and somebody who always carries himself with great dignity and somebody who leads his team, it's obvious that over the last 2 years, his skills have deteriorated. And it was interesting here in New York this morning. I was reading an article from Pro Football Focus. That is the scouts' dream website that basically breaks down every player, every situation, writes unbiased takes on different people and different players and coaches and all that other stuff. Wrote a very interesting article about the inaccuracy of Eli Manning and trying to meld him into the West Coast offense, which is what Ben McAdoo is trying to run here. And from a former quarterback who played in the West Coast offense, it makes complete sense to me, especially in this day and age, with the way defenses are. So Eli's 36. He's not getting any younger. He doesn't look like he's getting any better. He plays every game, which I think Giant fans have a great respect for. But in all honesty, if you really take a look at it, there are some things around him that obviously are not supporting the way that he plays. But if you're going to be making over $20 million a year in this NFL in the cap era, Jim, and you play quarterback, you have to be able to camouflage some of the shortcomings of your team, and unfortunately Eli is no longer that type of player.
Boomer Esiason breaking it all down for us here in the jungle. Now, Boomer, on this show, Detroit has been a big topic. When the Lions do well, it jams up all the phone lines. You got to see them up close when they came into the Giants' house and beat them. What do you think of what you saw from them on Monday night, and how do you think they'll show up against the Falcons?
Well, I know one thing, this is a huge test for them this week because, you know, this defense is basically played against, you know, two not-so-good offenses. The Cardinals and the Giants have not played great offense. Now, due in large part to the Detroit defense, I don't want to take anything away from Darius Slay and Ziggy Ansah and the guys, but nobody thinks that they're going to be, you know, a top-10 defense when all this is said and done with. And we're going to find out pretty quickly this week really where they do stand, because the one thing I will say is that Matt Ryan and his Atlanta Falcons woke up last week against the Green Bay Packers. They kind of been sleepwalking all through the preseason and everything else, and now all of a sudden they found their game. So this is going to be a really good test for Detroit. But the one thing I will say, and you saw it on display Monday night, you know, Matthew Stafford took a lot of hits just like Eli Manning did. They both got whacked around pretty good. You know, when you play against good defensive pass rushing teams, you're gonna feel the brunt of it, and I think both of the quarterbacks did. But Matthew Stafford does not get credit for what he does running around and getting out of trouble in the pocket. You saw that the other night, and he'll have to do that again. Now, the good news for them is that Vic Beasley is not playing for the Atlanta Falcons, so maybe less of a pass rush, and I would think that this could be a high-scoring game. I don't necessarily know it'll be a 41-39 game like last night was, but I think you got two great quarterbacks playing at the top of their game, and this is a great test for Detroit, much like for Tennessee playing Seattle this week. These are teams that, you know, if they can beat the teams that they're playing, like Tennessee and Detroit, who they're playing this week, it's going to really, really put them in a very good situation and probably give them even more confidence than they have going into the games.
And there you go, Lions fans. We're talking to your team up once again here in the jungle. Boomer Esiason joining us. Boomer, what do you make of how Marshawn Lynch has played in his first two games with the Raiders and how Jack Del Rio has incorporated him into the game plan, and also from a psychological and emotional standpoint?
It's interesting. Last week you heard a game, you heard a play at the line of scrimmage called Seattle, Seattle. And that was down on the goal line. And the reason that Derek Carr and the Raiders do that is that they're playing into the frustrations that Seattle fans have not running the ball on that final play at the Super Bowl against the New England Patriots. And why do I bring that up? I bring that up because I was explaining on my own radio show here in New York this week how coaches play with the psyche of players and how they play into the psyche of players and how they make players feel really good about playing for the team that they're on. So Jack Del Rio and the offense and everybody there in Oakland wants to make Marshawn Lynch realize how important he is to that team. They put him on the big board dancing on the sideline. And I think what Marshawn's done for the team is give him the attitude that the Seattle Seahawks had when Beast Mode was in full bloom when he was having some of his best years. So I think he brings the attitude to the Raiders, while Derek Carr is certainly the substance, and he is the face of the franchise, and he's a tremendous leader and a tremendous quarterback. I think having a little attitude on your team is a good thing. You want guys with edge, and that's certainly what Marshawn Lynch brings to the Raiders.
All right, now, Boomer, you've got a new crew there on the NFL Today on CBS. How is Nate Burleson fitting in, and what's it like to have your guy Phil Simms with you on Sundays?
You know, Nate is terrific. He's a really good broadcaster. You know, I've obviously covered Nate's games when he was a player. Interviewed him in games prior to games, just talking to him. I knew that he was really good at, just giving you a sense of what the game was all about. But watching him on this morning, Good Morning Football on NFL Network, and now working next to him, well, I'll tell you what, he's got just a great handle on the NFL. He's got a great different perspective that, you know, an older quarterback would have that I would have, or an older coach like Coach Cower. And he's able to articulate that in short sound bites in a live show, which he pretty much does every day for 3 hours. So I feel really, really lucky to work with him. And then, of course, working with my alter ego, Phil Simms, over there. He's great to work with. We take shots at each other. We have a great friendship. We have a long-time standing friendship. We share the same TV agent. So it's been a great mix for me because I work with Phil, of course, with Ray Lewis on Inside the NFL. So I can't get enough of Phil Simms, if I can tell you.
All right, and you've got Charles Barkley coming up on the show on Sunday. Now, Boomer, I was there 1 year when he was there, so I kind of have an idea how that goes. How do you go about preparing for a morning with Chuck?
You really don't, Jim. You just throw the ball out there and see what happens. You know, I don't know if he's going to be talking about the baby NBA players or how not the players in the NFL aren't practicing enough, or he's bitching and complaining about something happening in Philadelphia, or he and Shaq are in a fight, or he and Kobe are in a fight, or Kevin Durant or LeBron James hates him. I have no idea what to expect. So it's better left just like reacting. It's like fire and fall back when you're working with Chuck.
And that's how Chuck works as well. All right, so as always, Boomer, you're incredibly busy. I've got to know, what's the rest of your day look like, and then how does the weekend shape up before you hit the air on CBS on Sunday?
Well, I got a little golf this afternoon. Good. I got a little golf tomorrow, and that's my rest days now at the end of the week. And then Sunday, of course, 12 hours at the NFL today, and then right back at it Monday morning on WFAN. So things are getting pretty busy around here, Jim, as you can well imagine. And anytime you can take some pressure off me and come on the NFL today, we appreciate it. I certainly love it.
Boomer, you're the best. I'm going to see you there next weekend. He is the analyst of the NFL Today on CBS. He's inside the NFL on Showtime. He is the host of the morning show with Boomer Esiason on WFAN and CBS Sports Network, and he is still the jungle's favorite guest. Boomer, so good to have you back on. Have a great weekend, and I'll look forward to seeing you in New York next week.
Okay, Jim, thanks so much, and tell Toby I said hello, all right?
We'll do that, Boom. 2007 was the year of the soundbite. It seemed like every single day we were given the new gift of sound. And not just funny things here and there. I'm talking instant legends. Things that we reset on the reg right now, a decade later. Take Miss Teen South Carolina, 2007.
I personally believe that U.S. Americans are unable to do so because some people out there in our nation don't have maps, and I believe that our education, like such as in South Africa and the Iraq, everywhere like such as, and
furthermore,
I believe
therefore,
that they should,
henceforth,
our education
subsequently,
over here,
consequently,
the US should help the U.S.
In other words,
South Africa,
moreover, ergo,
help Iraq and the Asian countries, so we will be able to build up our future.
I love how she blew right through that stop sign too. Also in 07, Chris Crocker getting Kevin Federline's girls back.
And how dare anyone out there make fun of Britney after all she's been through? She lost her aunt. She went through a divorce. She had two kids. Her husband turned out to be a user, a cheater, and now she's going through a custody battle. All you people care about is readers and making money off of her. She's a human!
Thanks, Chris. Also in 07, the Florida frat bro begging not to be tased.
Don't tase me, bro!
I mean, all of these are special. Not only in history, but in jungle history. But it wasn't just classic internet moments that were born in 07. And it wasn't just a year full of memes. There were epic sports moments as well. Like when Dan Hawkins went off about Division I football, about the Big 12, same year.
It's Division I football! It's the Big 12! It ain't intramurals! You got 2 weeks after finals, you got a week of July 4th, and you got a week before camp starts. That's a month! That's probably more vacation than you guys get. And we're a little bummed out that we don't get 3 weeks. Go play intramurals, brother.
Brother.
Go play intramurals.
That is so good. That's better today than it was then.
Brother.
But my absolute favorite, brother, is the GOAT of sports rants. And you know what it is. It actually turns 10 today.
This was brought to me by a mother of children. Fiction. And that article had to have been written by a person that doesn't have a child. If your child goes down the street and somebody makes fun of him because he dropped a pass in a pickup game or says he's fat and he comes home crying to his mom, you'd understand. That's why I don't read the newspaper, because it's garbage. And the editor that let it come out is garbage. Attacking an amateur athlete for doing everything right. Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40. I'm not a kid. So get your facts straight. And I hope someday you have a child and somebody downgrades him and belittles him and you have to look him in the eye and say, you know what? It's okay. Who's the kid here? Are you kidding me? Makes me want to puke.
Goat. 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 I mean, that one presser was like a cornucopia of sound for this show. It unpacked so many drops that we use regularly every single day. You know what I'm talking about. Obviously, come after me, I'm a man, I'm 40. That's an all-timer. There's also garbage.
Garbage.
But probably the most used drop in the history of this program comes from that rant as well, and that is fat.
Fat.
Think about it. Without Coach Gundy going nuclear, What would you clones have to call, tweet, and email about? That drop is your oxygen. And without your horrible takes, they'd be even worse. Imagine coming in with, damn, insert celebrity. Damn, Kanye sure got fat. Nothing, right? That doesn't sound right. Or Pablo Sandoval, he strikes out again, probably because he's so fat. Or Eddie Lacy, in a word, fat. Nothing. I mean, that's pretty awkward, right?
Awkward.
But to be fair, that three-minute rant was not just a game changer for this show. It was life-changing for Mike. Before that rant, he was 13-15 as a head coach. Since, 89-31. I find it hard to believe that that's just a coinkydink. It put him on the map. It put that program back on the map. And easy to see why. What kid would not want to play for a coach who had that in him? Who had that kid's back? Who wouldn't want to play for that coach? What parent would not want to send their kid to that coach? That wasn't contrived. That was not manufactured. That was real. And it was brilliant. And that's why the G-Man and Oklahoma State are household in college football right now. My man, absolutely incredible. 10 years later, he's now 50. And he has a mullet, or did. And he's not a man, he's the man. Thanks for 10 great ones, Coach. You are the absolute best. Not only a jungle legend, but a societal legend. Not only a societal legend, an intergalactic legend. And if it sounds like I love this dude, it's because I do. Mike Gundy, happy anniversary, Coach. Happy anniversary. It's been 10 great years. You earned it. You earned it. My man. Mike Gundy, 10 years to the day. Willie Taggart is my guest. Willie, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I am doing excellent. How are you doing?
Doing great, Coach. Doing great. You're three games in. You've won all three games. Let me start here. What has your team shown you and how they've handled each of the three challenges that they faced thus far?
Well, we always talk about you either getting better or you're getting worse. No one stays the same. And I can honestly say our football team is getting better each and every game. After each game, there's something there that we can learn from, and our guys been able to take that to practice and try to make up for the mistakes that they made in the game and to make sure we're not doing those same things over and over and over again. And by doing that, we're improving as a football team. And I like the way our guys are playing for one another and having fun.
Now, you guys are talking also about the culture change and how much fun they're having. Mm-hmm. You're obviously putting in a lot of work yourself, but are you having fun as well, or is it just all work for you right now?
Oh, I'm having fun, baby. Winning is living. Correct. You're winning and you're living, so I'm having fun.
Winning is living. Willie Taggart joining us. So you've got Arizona State at their place tomorrow night. What is your biggest concern when it comes to the Sun Devils?
Well, I always tell our guys it's not about our opponents. It's about us going out and play our best ball game, you know, and that's something we haven't done yet, and it's going to take for us to go out and play our best ball game to win this ball game. They're a very talented group. They have a quarterback that can beat you with his feet and with his arm, and they have skilled guys out there at the receiver position and very talented in their running back. So they can score points defensively, a lot of athletes. I think they're very athletic on the D-line, which our guys got to buckle up and come and sustain some blocks so we can execute offensively.
Oregon head football coach Willie Taggart joining us. You know, Willie, I want to ask you about a couple of your guys, but you mentioned how these guys are playing for one another. When you first arrived and you started to break down tape from last year, you said some things that, well, you saw some things you didn't necessarily like, such as a lack of energy and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talked about is, quote, I want them to understand the way they play is a gift to their teammates, end quote. What did you mean by that? And then how do you go about getting these guys to buy into that particular message?
Well, what I meant by that is that those guys are out there playing for each other. It's not about me or our coaches or anything. They're playing for each other, and every play they make, they got to have their teammates back and go out and make it for their teammates. You know, not for me or anyone else. And when they can play that way, I think everyone else get what they want out of it, which is good play and wins. So that's kind of what I meant by. A gift to your teammates, and it's hard to do that if you don't know each other. So we spent a lot of time in the off season getting to know each other personally, you know, not just football, but where we're from, how we grew up, and trials and tribulations of what we've been through. And it makes you understand the person a little better, especially when things get tough.
You know, in that sense, what you did was you broke the team into 9 units during camp, and you had them talk about their lives away from the football facility, so they got to know each other better. You and I have talked in the past about your mantra of do something. Do you feel like the guys understand what you're looking for with that phrase? And then what do you look to see that shows you that they're taking ownership of that idea?
Well, one, I think it starts with competing, you know. And I came in and I told guys they all have to compete, and we're going to recruit guys to come take their jobs, and it was on them to keep their jobs. And we stuck to that, and we allowed those guys to compete. And those guys see that every single day, that they got to come out and be at their best, you know, and that we're not going to give them anything, because nobody's going to give us anything. And so we always talk about not blaming anyone else or making any excuses for us not getting what we want. We got to go out and do something. So whenever they want something, I remind them they got to do something. I don't care what it is. They want a day off. You got to do something to earn that day off, you know. But that's the world we live in now, and with the do something, it kind of cover everything when it comes down to it.
Well, I thought there were no days off. I thought there were no days off. They can't have a day off, right?
Yes, they do. NCAA rule.
There you go. Well handled, Coach. Well, I was not trying to trick you either, but you're right. Will Taggart joining us. If you want something, do something. You have another phrase, which I love, one of my all-time favorites. Have a great day if you want to. Lay that out for me. What does that mean to you? And then how would you define a great day if you want to?
Well, for me, that saying came from an old coach I had back at Western Kentucky, old Butch Gilbert. He used to come by and give us butterscotch every day, and when he walked off, he said, have a great day if you want to. And he sat around and thought about it. It's like, you know what? He's exactly right. It's up to me to have a great day. It's all about your attitude and the way you want to go about your day. And to me, what a great day is, if you made a difference in somebody else's life that day, then you had a great day, and you wake up and got an opportunity to do it the next day. To me, that's a great day.
Willie Taggart joining us. Your father, John, passed away last month. And for those who did not know him, Willie, what was he like as a person? And then what kind of an influence did he have on you?
My pops was, he was funny. He always had a joke for you. He was going to always make you laugh. People liked being around him. He was always helpful, want to help someone else. The influence he had on me is being a husband and father to my kid and my wife. You know, I just saw how my dad took care of us, and no matter what, he found a way to put food on the table, and always said I wanted to be like my dad when it came to that, and I make sure I take pride in that. And every time my dad and I talk, he always asks me how was my family, how my wife, my kids, and make sure I take care of them, and that always stuck with me.
You know, Willie, maybe it's a generational thing, because I want to read you a quote, and then I want to share something with you, too. Earlier this spring, your father told ESPN, quote, sometimes I look up in the sky and I think about things, and I don't see how it could get any better, end quote. I don't know if it's generational. Like, my father, Willie, passed away when he was 59, and he was diagnosed with cancer at 50. And I remember thinking, he's such a young man, that's so sad. And he would say things like, are you kidding? I did so much better than I would have ever thought. I've got this amazing family. I love my kids. Everything's good. Everything's great. And I don't know if it's a generational thing, but when your dad would say, I look up in the sky and I think about how things could not be any better, I mean, there's not enough of that, is there?
You're exactly right, you know. And I say around now, like, I know my dad's proud. He always told me he's proud. He told his friend, he told everybody he could. He was proud of me. And I know now he's sitting up there with a 100-yard HDTV watching over and cheering the Ducks on throughout the season.
You know, what he said was, he always said how proud of you he was as you as a player and also you as a coach and you as a man, and he always told you that. You know, before I let you go, you got flagged for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against Nebraska while arguing with the refs about a cheap shot on quarterback Justin Herbert. He loved it. Your quarterback loved it, and he said he loves knowing that you'll fight for your guys. I know you refer to yourself, quote, as a jughead for doing it and that you'd run some laps for it, but how important is it for you to get out there and stick up for your guys and have their backs?
It's very important, you know, because we always preach that to our guys, having each other's back. And the thing around here, what we do, we don't just preach it to our players. We make sure we own up to it as coaches as well, and we want them to have each other's back. We got to have their backs. And, again, they all are my kids, you know. We went to their home and took them away from their parents and brought them here, and it's only right that we take care of them. That's what we tell their parents to that we'll do for them. And it's my job and our coaches to make sure we stand up for them and make sure we stand up for the right things.
They're 3-0. They're number 24 in both polls. Oregon is at Arizona State tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Their head coach, Willie Taggart, joins us. Willie, it's so good to have you back. Have a great weekend. Nice to have you on the show, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim. And have a great day if you want to. And go Ducks.
Willie Taggart is my guest. Willie, it's good to have you back. How are you?
I am doing excellent. How are you doing?
Doing great, Coach. Doing great. You're three games in. You've won all three games. Let me start here. What has your team shown you and how they've handled each of the three challenges that they faced thus far?
Well, we always talk about you either getting better or you're getting worse. No one stays the same. And I can honestly say our football team is getting better each and every game. After each game, there's something there that we can learn from. And our guys have been able to take that to practice and try to make the mistakes. Make up for the mistakes that they made in the game and to make sure we're not doing those same things over and over and over again. And by doing that, we're improving as a football team. And I like the way our guys are playing for one another and having fun.
Now, you guys are talking also about the culture change and how much fun they're having. Mm-hmm. You're obviously putting in a lot of work yourself, but are you having fun as well, or is it just all work for you right now?
Oh, I'm having fun, baby. Winning is living, you know, so...
Great.
You're winning and you're living, so I'm having fun.
Winning is living. Willie Taggart joining us. So you've got Arizona State at their place tomorrow night. What is your biggest concern when it comes to the Sun Devils?
Well, I always tell our guys it's not about our opponents. It's about us going out and play our best ball game, you know, and that's something we haven't done yet, and it's going to take for us to go out and play our best ball game to win this ball game. They're a very talented group. They have a quarterback that can beat you with his feet and with his arm, and they have skilled guys out there at the receiver position and very talented in their running back. So they can score points defensively, a lot of athletes. I think they're very athletic on the D-line, which our guys got to buckle up and come and sustain some blocks so we can execute offensively.
Oregon head football coach Willie Taggart joining us. You know, Willie, I want to ask you about a couple of your guys, but you mentioned how these guys are playing for one another. When you first arrived and you started to break down tape from last year, you said some things that, well, you saw some things you didn't necessarily like, such as a lack of energy and enthusiasm. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that you talked about is, quote, "I want them to understand the way they play is a gift to their teammates," end quote. What did you mean by that? And then how do you go about getting these guys to buy into that particular message?
Well, what I meant by that is that those guys are out there playing for each other. It's not about me or our coaches or anything. They're playing for each other, and every play they make, they got to have their teammates back and go out and make it for their teammates. You know, not for me or anyone else. And when they can play that way, I think everyone else get what they want out of it, which is good play and wins. So that's kind of what I meant by. A gift to your teammates, and it's hard to do that if you don't know each other. So we spent a lot of time in the off season getting to know each other personally, you know, not just football, but where we're from, how we grew up, and trials and tribulations of what we've been through, and it makes you understand the person a little better, especially when things get tough.
You know, in that sense, what you did was you broke the team into 9 units during camp, mm-hmm. and you had them talk about their lives away from the football facility, so they got to know each other better. You and I have talked in the past about your mantra of do something. Mm-hmm. Do you feel like the guys understand what you're looking for with that phrase? And then what do you look to see that shows you that they're taking ownership of that idea?
Well, one, I think it starts with competing, you know. And I came in and I told guys they all have to compete, and we're going to recruit guys to come take their jobs, and it was on them to keep their jobs. And we stuck to that, and we allowed those guys to compete, and those guys see that every single day, that they got to come out and be at their best, you know, and that we're not going to give them anything because nobody's going to give us anything. And so we always talk about not blaming anyone else or making any excuses for us not getting what we want. We got to go out and do something. So whenever they want something, I remind them they got to do something. I don't care what it is. They want a day off. You got to do something to earn that day off, you know. But that's the world we live in now, and with the do some, it kind of cover everything when it comes down to it.
Hey, Willie, I thought there were no days off. I thought there were no days off. They can't have a day off, right?
Yes, they do. Oh. NCAA rule.
There you go. Well handled, Coach. Well, I was not trying to trick you either, but you're right. Willie Taggart joining us. If you want something, do something. You have another phrase which I love, one of my all-time favorites. Have a great day if you want to. Lay that out for me. What does that mean to you? And then how would you define a great day, if you want to?
Well, for me, that saying came from an old coach I had back in at Western Kentucky, old Butch Gilbert. He used to come by and give us butterscotch every day, and when he walked off, he said, "Have a great day if you want to." And sat around and thought about it. It's like, you know what? He's exactly right. It's up to me to have a great day. It's all about your attitude and the way you want to go about your day. And to me, what a great day is, if you made a difference in somebody else's life that day, then you had a great day. And you wake up and got an opportunity to do it the next day. To me, that's a great day.
Willie Taggart joining us. Your father, John, passed away last month. And for those who did not know him, Willie, what was he like as a person, and then what kind of an influence did he have on you?
My pops was funny. He always had a joke for you. He was going to always make you laugh. People liked being around him. He was always helpful, wanting to help someone else. The influence he had on me is being a husband and father to my kid and my wife. You know, I just saw how my dad took care of us, and no matter what, he found a way to put food on the table, and always said I wanted to be like my dad when it came to that, and I make sure I take pride in that. And every time my dad and I talk, he always asks me how was my family, how my wife, my kids, and make sure I take care of them, and that always stuck with me.
You know, Willie, maybe it's a generational thing, because I want to read you a quote, and then I want to share something with you, too. Earlier this spring, your father told ESPN, quote, "Sometimes I look up in the sky and I think about things, and I don't see how it could get any better," end quote. I don't know if it's generational. Like, my father, Willie, passed away when he was 59, and he was diagnosed with cancer at 50. And I remember thinking, he's such a young man, that's so sad. And he would say things like, "Are you kidding? I did so much better than I would have ever thought. I've got this amazing family. I love my kids. Everything's good. Everything's great." And I don't know if it's a generational thing, but when your dad would say, "I look up in the sky and I think about how things could not be any better," I mean, there's not enough of that, is there?
You're exactly right, you know. And I say around now, like, I know my dad's proud. He always told me he's proud. He told his friend, he told everybody he could. He was proud of me. And I know now he's sitting up there with a 100-yard HDTV watching over and cheering the Ducks on throughout the season.
You know, what he said was, he always said how proud of you he was as you as a player, and also you as a coach and you as a man, and he always told you that. You know, before I let you go, you got flagged for an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against Nebraska while arguing with the refs about a cheap shot on quarterback Justin Herbert. He loved it. Your quarterback loved it, and he said he loves knowing that you'll fight for your guys. I know you refer to yourself, quote, as a jughead for doing it, and that you'd run some laps for it, but how important is it for you to get out there and stick up for your guys and have their backs?
It's very important, you know, because we always preach that to our guys, having each other's back. And the thing around here, what we do, we don't just preach it to our players. We make sure we own up to it as coaches as well, and we want them to have each other's back. We got to have their backs. And, again, they all are my kids. You know, we went to their home and took them away from their parents and brought them here, and it's only right that we take care of them. That's what we tell their parents that we'll do for them, and it's my job and our coaches to make sure we stand up for them and make sure we stand up for the right things.
They're 3-0. They're number 24 in both polls. Oregon is at Arizona State tomorrow night, 10 p.m. Eastern. Their head coach, Willie Taggart, joins us. Willie, it's so good to have you back. Have a great weekend. Nice to have you on the show, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Jim, and have a great day if you want to, and go Ducks.
All right, so now let's go out live to our colleague on the beach in Los Angeles, where he is from, and we all know Jim Rome from CBS Sports Radio. Nice group behind you there, JR.
All right, JB, good morning. Thank you so much.
Welcome to the jungle. My name is Jim Rome. A very good Monday to you.
So how are we all living?
How was the weekend? Lots to get to. A ton to get to on this Monday. I've got pro football. I've got college football. Got that jam job from Las Vegas and a whole lot more. All right, where to start? There is still nothing better than what happened on the field in Oakland.
Yeah! You are looking live at Marshawn Lynch. Dancing to the music.
Marshawn dancing was not embarrassing. Being the Jets is embarrassing. Allowing more than 400 yards for the second straight week is embarrassing. He wasn't dancing because they beat the Jets. He was dancing because he was back home. Listen, I had a really good Sunday. Did a live shot from the Hermosa Beach Pier. A few times, Sparrow came out. Keith Arnold came out. I had a great Sunday. But I'm here to tell you, not nearly as good as those two fools who were napping it out in that car.
I do feel bad for Bird for taking a lot of
heat.
He
won the fight, flat out. Right when you think it's
impossible. Boxing has once again dotted yet another I. Mike Mitchell.
I could be being ignorant right here, but I'm assuming that Adelaide Bird has not professionally boxed. Golly, I've watched enough to know that she didn't watch the same fight that I did.
Chris Mannix.
It's boxing. They are so willing to cut their nose off to spite their face.
Snap, hold, kick is up.
San Diego.
It is no good.
Uh-oh. I'm not sure what's worse. Missing the game-winning field goal or the roar from the crowd when it happened or the fact that somebody fired the cannon to celebrate it.
Wait a minute. Lee Jenkins from Sports Illustrated?
I love this guy, Koo. I think they should make a statue of him right next to Tony Gwynn and Tomlinson and Seau. I mean, he's a true San Diego hero, Koo.
Spanos Tacos.
Spanos Tacos. Sound about right, San Diego?
Eddie in Boise.
It's been a while. It's probably over a year and a half, probably.
Hey, Edward, you've lost your mojo.
Touchdown,
restore the roar. The NFL is better when the Lions are better. In fact, get right down to it. Life is better when the Lions are better.
You get a whistle.
Delay a game.
Sloppy quarterback play.
I mean, this guy swerved way out of his lane. I love how McAdoo was saying, put it on me, put it on me. And by putting it on me, I mean put it on the quarterback.
Because we have a veteran quarterback who's played a lot of football. I expect us to get the ball snapped.
I'll tell you what, at least you got this going for you, Coach. Your lettuce is on point.
Twitter!
I eat for emotional reasons as well. Signed, Adelephant.
Hello.
Hey, Alvin, don't be a party of that crap. It's not good for your brand. Denver Broncos linebacker, Brandon Marshall.
And I'm watching the game. Brandon dropped one of the passes. Immediately, I went to my Twitter. I was like, okay, I know people are going to say something. Still surprised. Everybody, well, how are you tweeting at the same time as you're playing?
Let's go to the tweets. Oh, here's one. Hey, Rome, you're crazy. Oh, that's from my wife. Hey, babe, just change the station. We're all good.
No pressure, no diamonds.
How can it always be somebody else's fault? Let me help you with that. It can't.
God don't like us.
Now, stop talking football and get back to draining jumpers over accountants in Estonia.
Email.
You like that? Son, Mike Shanahan.
You like that?
The flash the way he quit today.
This is going to be taken out.
I don't like that.
And running is a key to leaving. He's not trying to score.
You really have to look at the general effort to chase that ball down.
I don't know why Jerry's got to constantly enable these guys. You know what was wrong? Because the head coach said it was wrong. You know what was wrong? Because it was wrong.
42 different sauce and pasta combinations.
Well, you do the math. I'm doing the Alfredo.
Oh, he went there. Tell me how my Alfredo tastes. I cannot believe that guy went there. We go to Gary in Detroit.
Hey, it's actually G-Man from Motown.
Have a take, don't suck. Do not self-gloss. They're the only rules on the program. Yogi Roth is our guest. Nebraska has fired its AD.
I've never been a fan of firings in midseason. I thought you were going to say football coach. And I was
right.
Like, whoa, there's no way that happened already. I think people need to pump the brakes.
Keel Craver calling in on the toll-free line.
In Nebraska, the community runs the team. You don't have a pulse with the city and with the team, it's going to be real hard for people to get behind you.
Back in August, I bought tickets to L.A. You know, they were on a 56-11 run. Here they are now, just tanking. So should I scrap my ticket? Should I still go?
I'll tell you what you do. You go to a Rams game. Ram it, Kelly.
Twitter.
Jerry goes crazy now. We still call Superman. Sign 3 doors down. That makes 6.
Kryptonite.
Really well done, Monty. Best tweet of the week, Monty.
And he's in for the touchdown.
The Rams just finally look like a freaking NFL team. And Jared Goff finally looks like an NFL quarterback. Also a very good thing.
Okay, Jim, thanks so much, and tell Toby I said hello, all right?
We'll do that, boom.
Larry Brown.
Louis Taggart is my guest.
Oh, I'm having fun, baby. Winning is living. Also. You're winning and you're living, so I'm having fun.
It's getting creepy up in here. State school.
Hey, Janet. Hey, it's Tiger.
Is you actually have to kill a goat and then grill it and then feed it to your wife.
Thanks, Jim. Talk to you next week, sir.
Go back, Nate. Ram it. Tex-Mexica Cinnabon. Jessica Cinnamon Struzel. That's it. Go Jackrabbits.
Have a great day if you want to.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night now.
Clones, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate it. Thank you for trusting both the podcasts. Gear up for another big weekend of football, then check back here on Monday. See you then. I'm out.